chance to talk here. And so I will talk about application to Laplace sizal homomorphism. Okay, just that. I will start by setting some notations. So we will talk about simplex manifold M, and in that we have a Laplacian submanifold L. And given this Laplacian submanifold on the relative pi 2, we have two maps given by the simplex form, which I will call I omega, and another map, which is the Maslow number. So, for example, I omega is defined on class beta to be the integration of omega on beta. And then the Maslow index is simply the usual Maslow index. And we will say this Laplacian manifold to be monotone if there is a lambda which is positive or zero, such that the I omega is lambda times I of mu. So in particular, if I have a Maslow index zero, which will cause trouble when you have bubblings, the simplex form evaluated on it will have to be zero. It means when you look at holomorphic maps, you don't have such holomorphic disks. And also, we will want our Laplacian submanifold to have at least Maslow number 2. Just to get rid of, because of this, I allowed this to be possibly equal to zero. So I will put that condition on there as well. Then in this case, the image of the map I mu, I will call it, give a name gamma of L, and then we can define the Novikov ring to be the completed group ring of gamma L. Then another definition for me to start, in order to start the statement of the result, is the following. That is given by Guérin and Corny. That is, when such a monotone Laplacian submanifold satisfy the following condition, the quantum homology, which I will define later, of the L is the same as the usual homology tensor with the Novikov ring. It is called wide. L is wide if and only if this isomorphism. And then another ingredient, when we have a simplex manifold, we can talk about the Hamiltonian diffeomorphisms of this simplex manifold. In particular, because we are interested in this Laplacian, we're interested in a subgroup of this Hamiltonian diffeomorphism, which preserves L, but not pointwise fix it. With this, we can consider the restriction of the Laplacian diffeomorphism to L. And then the result, which is joint work with François Lalande, says that if L is wide, then for then phi restrict to L. Look at the induced map on homology. It has to be identity. So basically, this is the result I'm going to talk about. And from here, you don't see anything about cytohomomorphism, but it will come. And another way of looking at this result is saying that if you are given a diffeomorphism on L, and you want to extend this diffeomorphism into a Hamiltonian diffeomorphism of the full manifold M, then it has to have the condition that G induces identity on the homology. Before going into cytohomomorphism and other things, I will make some remarks. First, the condition of Hamiltonian diffeomorphism is necessary because we can look at the diagonal. Hamiltonian is necessary. Because if we look at the diagonal, M cross M, in M cross M of this offset simplex structure, then I just take any simplex morphism of M, and I put it on both factors. Of course, this will preserve the diagonal, but there's no reason that this thing won't be identity. And another remark is the map itself does not have to be identity. I mean, the map, this map here, does not have to be in the identity component. Because in the statement here, the coefficient of the homology could be Z or Z2. And phi does not have to be in the identity component. The example is the following. If we look at sphere and the S1 has a Laplacian in it, then if I rotate along the axis, the vertical axis for pi, then I flip the S1 onto itself with opposite orientation, and then this is Hamiltonian, of course, but if we look at in coefficient Z2, the phi restrict to L reverse orientation, but in Z2, the star is identity in Z2 coefficient. So basically, this does say something non-trivial about this Hamiltonian group preserving L. And the way to get the cytohomomorphism to work for us is to put this map into this one sequence of a fibration over S1. That is, if we look at the mapping cylinder, N of phi restrict to L, mapping cylinder, then I can write down this exact sequence. With inclusion I think I'm writing two. And then goes down to HQ of L, and then here is the map that I consider, minus identity. And then inclusion goes into of N. In order to show that this is identity, the only thing we really need to show is just the vanishing of the non-vanishing of the I star is an inclusion. So the problem becomes, show that the homology, the map of the inclusion induced by the inclusion as fiber is injective. So to show that, that's where we use the Seidel homomorphism. To start talking about Seidel homomorphism, let's give a brief description of the quantum homology. As defined by Durand Cornea and Cornea Lalonde. So given a Lagrange submanifold L inside some manifold, monotone and has minimum mass of number 2, we choose a Morse function on L and a metric on L as well, and also J to be a omega compatible almost complex structure on M, then we can look at the modular space of the following configuration of holomorphic disks connected by Morse flows. So you look at the configuration of starting from critical points of the Morse function, flow along gradient, negative gradient flow, then you arrive at a holomorphic disk representing class theta 1 in the relative homology, relative homotopy group. Then you keep flowing again along the same gradient flow. Then you hit another holomorphic disk. Keep going until you hit Y. So this is beta K and this is UK. So UIs are mapped from disk to M with boundary on L, holomorphic. And X and Y are critical points of F. And then we give the distance here as between these two holomorphic disks as DI. The distance is basically measured by the time that you need to flow along the gradient, negative gradient flow. Then if we look at all such things, And we write it as the module space of ML with beta, where beta is the all the collections of the classes represented by the homomorphic disks and X, Y. Then if we look at the boundary of this, when we have a family of these things, the boundary will consist of the following configurations. The following three things could happen. One is one of the DIs goes to infinity. This corresponds to the breaking up of Moore's law. And then it could also goes to zero. It means that two of those disks touch each other. And then it could also happen bubbling off. It's bubbling off. Because of the assumptions we made, at low dimensions, for example, at dimension less than or equals to one, you won't have bubbling off happen here. You only would have bubbling off happen right here. So you stay as a chain of disks. And I will write down the dimension. So the dimension of this module space equals to the Morse index of X minus Morse index of Y plus the Maslow index of all the disks add together and minus one. So this beta bar, absolute value of beta, is basically just add all the I's, betas. So when this is less than or equals to one, all the bubbling off will happen at the points that connect with the green lines. So what we see is when the dimension is less than or equals to one, these two somehow would cancel if I look at all the unions of the module spaces with the same norm of beta will be union of the norm of beta to be B, then what left is only the first boundary component, which is Moore's law breaking up. And that is basically the motivation of defining the how we can define a differential on the thing that I didn't write. So with this, we can start looking at the chain complex given by a group, which is the chain group is given by the Morse chain group tensor with the Novikov ring, with the differential given by the name for this is Purdy differential because it looks like a chain of Purs. And then on X is given by the summation of counting times e raised to b. Sorry, this is B. And because that we only have this Morse type breaking up, we have B squared is zero. And the homology of this complex is the quantum homology. Now, the cytal map for this quantum homology is defined similarly in the way that geometric cytal map for Hamiltonian loop group is defined. So how does that go? It goes, we consider Hamiltonian vibrations over a disk instead of a sphere. And then we look at essentially the horizontal part of the quantum homology. So we start with a Hamiltonian map that preserves L. Because it lies in Hamiltonian group, so there is a path in there. So there is a path BT in Ham that connects it to identity. And then we use this path. We take two half disks. And glue the fibers using the phi of t's along the straight boundaries. With this gluing, what happens is we get a fibration over a disk. Which of course is going to be trivial. We get a fibration over a disk. And the fibration is denoted P of phi. And then on the boundary S1, over here we have L times boundary negative boundary. So I will call this boundary negative and boundary positive. So I have boundary negative times L and boundary positive times L. And then because phi of 1 preserves L, so this L will give me another subbundle over S1, which is the mapping cylinder. This is over S1. So this one is not trivial, that one is trivial, and everything basically is encoded in this. Then we take the horizontal Purdy complex. That is, if we look at only section classes, in the relative pi 1, P of phi and G. And we construct the map. And we show that this is the isomorphism. So I think I'm rushing too fast. Then we look at the map constructed from looking at homomorphic sections. So in this key phi, because it's Hamiltonian fibration, or you can think that because it's trivial, so it's automatically symplectic, we can put a symplectic structure on it, which restricts to omega on each fiber. And then we can choose almost complex structure, which I will call J of P. And on N of G, we can look at Morse function, a metric, and we can play the same game as we define the Purdy complex. And the thing that we want to make sure is this Morse function only has critical points along two fibers. So if we use this to represent our N of G, then I want the Morse function F, capital F, to have only critical points along the fibers over, for example, the point here and the point there. And also I want one of the fiber, the value is like completely above the other one. So I will call this L minus, I will call this L plus. And I pick a critical point in here, critical point there to denote X minus, and critical point there to denote Y plus. And then what do I look at? I look at the configuration of flows with holomorphic sections, and then flowing down to Y. So I would denote this as the module space of P, N, and B, and sigma. Sigma is the class represented by this section over here. And then X minus and Y plus. And count this type of module spaces and put there Y plus, and then add them together. It gives me a map. In fact, in order to take into account of the sigma could be different because the sections can have many, can be, there are many classes that in here are sections. I will choose a reference section, sigma 0, and then all the other sections will be of the form sigma 0 plus B, where B is coming from the fiber. And then I will put e raised to B over there. So this defines a map between the quantum homology of the minus fiber to the quantum homology of the plus fiber. And then we show that. And then it's a theorem that says this is isomorphism. And from here, because this is isomorphism, of the quantum homologies, and this essentially implies that the map induced by inclusion of fibers is injective. The reason is if this were not injective, then another module space can be constructed so that this appears at the boundary. And that's the end.
Have we any questions?
You mean this one? Oh yes, the kind of configuration is if this were not an injection, then there is going to be something from here which kills the cycle that you take over here, right? So because of the construction of the Morse function, the inclusion of this L minus into this N, it will not so. Like if the fiber, if a class alpha minus is killed inside the whole space, it has to be killed by something over here. So the module space we count is of the following form. You start with not starting with critical points down there. You start with critical points on the higher fiber and flows to a disk, and then flows down to the same fiber here. And then the boundary of this basically will be, this will be the boundary of that kind of countings. Because you cannot have critical points in here to kill itself. because it's already in the H of L minus. So everything has to come from here if you want to kill it.
Any more questions? All right, if not, let's resume after lunch at 1 p.m.